It's 5 o'clock. Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for June the 9th, 2016. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher? Spranger?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here. The board is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. The responsibility to the board to interpret the zoning ordinance as far as special uses and variances are concerned. Each member has had an opportunity to visit the site in question and usually comes prepared to make a decision this evening. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the May 24th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. We have seven cases here this evening. We're going to move case G first because of a time conflict. It's a request. It's a case number 16-040 at 875 Tanglefoot Lane. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 50 feet to 10 feet submitted by Tanglefoot Investors. Is there an application or publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
This site is located west of the intersection of Utica Ridge Road and Tanglefoot Lane, and it is located north of Tanglefoot Lane, and it's outlined with the yellow line and involves a site of a structure that was previously built. I've showed you on this display the zoning of this entire development area. Originally, there was a single developer that had planned on large office developments with the anticipation of potentially hundreds of jobs up in this area. And as a result of those plans that was being worked on with the developer and our economic development department, we felt that the C6 zoning designation was appropriate for that type of large developments with large numbers of people. Those plans never came about. We have basically that one single site that was developed, has very few employees on the inside, and the developer, the original developer, passed away. Those plans have pretty much all gone aside. A new developer is beginning a smaller type development in the new C3 area. That area was just recently rezoned. We're anticipating smaller developments, smaller numbers of employees in the area here, and the C3 district is a much more appropriate type of development. The difference between the C6 and the C3 are rather significant. C6 has 50-foot front yard setbacks, 50-foot rear yard setbacks, larger side yards, where the C3 has the 20-foot front setback and a 10-foot rear setback. There is a possibility and some anticipation that all of this development could eventually be tied in together, and perhaps a portion of the site now under consideration would be sold off to make this a more uniform type of a lot. With the variance allowing the new setback, it would match the C3 setback immediately adjacent to and north of this development and allow some additional property to be sold off to that new C3 area while not making it a non-conforming lot. I believe this does better set up with the development that we are going to see going on in the area. And I think that summarizes the issues before you this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. And as I understand it, the current owner owns that property as well as the C3, everything, right?
It's anticipated that the site now under consideration will be under joint ownership. I don't believe that has occurred at this time.
Thank you. Is there anyone wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Good evening. Greg Jaeger, an attorney with the Pasternak firm, 300 block of West 3rd in Davenport. I just wanted to clarify your question a little bit. Currently, it is not under common ownership. The parcel that's shown on the map as site is owned by the applicant. The parcel that's shown as C3 is not the same as the applicant, but is a potential purchaser of the ground that we have highlighted in the rectangle. Mr. Kellner is here and can answer a little more in detail what would happen to the parcel. But if the variance is granted, it is anticipated that that rectangular square will be transferred to the property owner to the north.
Thank you, Greg. Anything else?
Mr. Kellner can answer any questions specifically about the proposal. Otherwise, the staff report itself was pretty thorough, and it's exactly what happened. The developer had very big plans. They never came to fruition. This is an infill part of the city. We're looking to get commercial development in that area. We're hopeful that the board will see the rationale for our proposal.
Thank you. Is anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Is there questions from the board?
I have no questions.
No.
Is there a motion?
I make the motion to approve the variance to reduce the rear setback from 50 to 10 feet on case 16-040.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Mylinger?
Yes. Case number 16-040 at 875 Tanglefoot Lane, a C6 district, has been approved. We'll go to the top again. Case 16-027 at 4555 Utica Ridge Road, a C2 district, excuse me. A request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback for parking from 20 feet to 0 feet to reduce the required sign setback from 20 feet to 5 feet, submitted by Katie Summers. So this was deferred from the May 24th meeting. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
As you stated, you've already reviewed this. You wanted some more clarification on this. I will make it a very brief presentation, therefore. The site is located across from Trinity, which is now Unity Point Hospital. The applicant would like to place some parking within the front setback. There weren't a whole lot of details to show you at the last meeting. You asked them to come back to do so. Originally, when the site was planned on being developed, it did show parking within the front area, as is now being requested. That never actually developed with this, and it hasn't been a problem up till now, but because the building is being utilized to a higher degree, they are in need of some more on-site parking. And there is no real alternative for them for off-site parking. Obviously, there's no parking allowed on Utica. There's no parking allowed on Crow Creek. The nearest would be over on, I believe that's called Bunker Hill Drive, over in this area here. And that is a residential street and something that we staff would like to see avoided, to have parking spilled off on that. The 25-foot separation is routinely a good separation for opposing parking areas so that they can back out without having any interference with the other vehicles parked behind them. There are numerous examples of parking within the front setbacks within the city, the example at Hy-Vee, the example at Home Depot, multiple examples along 18th Street. They also indicated to you what the sign, a general idea of what the sign would look like, and you asked them to come back with a more detailed plan showing the parking and the sign. That plan is as now being shown. This being north, the more northernmost portion of the proposed parking would be within 2 feet of the front property line. As you move down towards this area here, just north of the main entrance, it would widen to over 7 feet. And everything south of the main entrance is almost 8 feet. It's 7 feet, 8 inches that it would be set back from the front property line. So as you anticipated, the farther south you go in this area here, the farther away from the front property line the parking will be. And on the south side of the main entrance, it will be 7 feet 8 inches away. A sign is proposed for that island right at the main entrance, on the north side of the main entrance. It appears to be approximately 7 feet back. You did make reference to Miller Meyer Limb and Brace, which is immediately to the south of this site, and they received a variance for their sign. I sent you a correction email to let you know that that was at an 11-foot setback. My original staff report had it, I think I said at 3 feet, and that was incorrect. We just received this most detailed plan yesterday. I believe it does answer your questions as to exactly what the impact would be and how far the parking would be back from the front property line. I do have representatives both from the business requesting this variance, as well as an engineer that supplied this drawing, that are here to answer further questions if you have them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. I parked my car there where that red line is and measured the front, and it's a good 7 feet from the curb or from the sidewalk to the parking lot proposed. And it would be 2 feet on the north end, is that correct?
That would be the closest, the very closest part
up there.
That point right there is going to be 2 feet away.
Thank
the
you.
Farther you go south, the farther it gets away from the front property line.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Jay Summers, and my wife was the applicant. I'm a resident of Bettendorf. And I want to apologize for the lateness of this schematic. I would just forward it to the previous speaker yesterday, and I think that accomplished what we needed to do. And I know one of the concerns often is ability to see pulling in and out, and I know the board members are aware that there is a turning lane at this location, as well as a stoplight at the corner of Crow Creek and Utica Ridge Road, which would accomplish any concerns regarding vision to make a safe negotiated turn. Thank you.
Are there any utilities in that area that would be a problem? Utilities underground or anything?
Mr. Chairman, as a requirement of the placement of the sign, they would be required to contact Iowa One Call. The utilities are located, and then staff works frequently with individuals.
If there's
a conflict with the utility, we'll see to it that it doesn't conflict with the utility.
Thank you. Is there anyone on the board want to ask him a question?
No, I think that this exhibit answers the questions that we had at the previous meeting.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there any other questions from the board?
No, the only comment I would make is I'm willing to make a motion to approve this based on the application, and coupled with this exhibit, although this exhibit is not labeled.
I have it in file.
All right, so
the dimensions are on this exhibit. For the record, the dimensions are everything south of the main entrance will be at least 7 foot 8 inches behind the front property line, and north of the main entrance it will vary from 7 foot 8 inches to a minimum of 24 inches on the northernmost portion.
Okay. Well, as long as we can identify this as, adequately, I would like to make a motion that we approve case number 16027 at 4555 Utica Ridge Road. As per the application, in conjunction with the exhibit that we've been presented here.
Would you like this exhibit attached to the decision and order? I think that would be the most clarifying way to do it.
If you can include that in my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 16-027 at 4555 Utica Ridge Road has been approved. Case 16-035 at 4112 Woodview Drive in R2 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 15 feet to allow for construction of a 16 by 16 foot screen porch submitted by Heartland Builders of the Quad Cities. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The site is located in the rearmost portion of the Deerbrook addition. It involves the site that is outlined before you right now. The house currently has a deck on the back end of it. They would like to replace it with a more modern facility. It would be a 16 foot by 16 foot addition. Currently, the house varies in its rear setback, and it is the entirety of the house is less than the required 25 foot setback. If allowed, the 16 by 16 foot deck would be within 15 foot of the rear property line. As you can see, this area right in here is almost at that level right now. It might be protruding an additional foot or two to what exists already today. Perhaps back when this home was built, there was some allowance that was made because of the fact that there was an outlot behind it, and obviously the intent of the ordinance for separation, the rear separation, is going to be made. There's going to be several hundred feet separating any structure from the rear of this house. However, today staff would not make that determination. It would require a variance. They're coming in for the deck at this time, and we thought this was the appropriate time to bring it before you and indicate what already exists and what the deck will be, and it clears up something that should have been cleared up a long time ago. I believe obviously this setback separation intent will be met. Again, there's going to be several hundred feet of anything that could ever be built behind it. There's a permanent restriction on Outlot A. Thank I believe you. That summarizes the request, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
If you have any questions regarding anything else, I'm not here to speak, but I think staff covered everything.
Would you state your name, please?
I'm Terry Nowak with Heartland Builders.
Thank you, Terry. Mm-hmm. Have any questions?
No.
None? Is there a motion?
Yes, I'll make the motion to approve the variance to reduce that required setback from 25 to 15 on case 16-035.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
And motion moved and second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Oliver?
Yes. Case 16-035 at 4112 Woodview Drive has been approved. Case 16-036 at 3431 Maple Glen Drive. It's a PUD district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 15 feet to allow construction of a 14 by 14 foot deck submitted by Ron and Carolyn Krebs. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located, it is the condominium development just west of the intersection of Belmont Road and Devil's Glen Road. It involves the third unit in to the west of Devil's Glen Road. Previously, this subdivision was platted with two units per lot. And that was problematic for many of these people during real estate transactions, as you might imagine, when they were trying to figure out what property went with during the transaction and all the related abstracting that went along with that. That was brought to our attention, and just recently this whole area was replatted where we made individual lots for each unit. Because it was kind of a backdoor replatting, there were many of the individual lots that didn't meet the setback requirements because of how it had developed over the many years that these condominiums have been there. Those were dealt with during the platting process with plat notes on each of the lots that had those non-conforming features. That plat note is very long, and it dealt with many of these things. However, there's no plat note that deals with somebody who's going to come in and do basically the same thing, which is what we have today. Individual would like to place a 14 by 14 foot deck to the rear, which would be the north of the unit that was outlined. The only way to address it at this time is with the variance request. Obviously, we're not going to be adding plat notes every time somebody wants to come in with one of these. You can see decks in the rears on many of these, and many of them don't have the required setbacks, and that's, as I said, it was dealt with plat notes when we replatted this. It's an unusual situation we don't have happen very often, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. We did approve one or two or more of those in the past years, I believe. Is there anyone wish to speak in favor of this request?
I'm Ron Krebs. And
would you like to speak at the podium, please, Ron, and state your name and address?
You can tell I'm new at this.
I'm Ron Krebs. My address is 3431 Maple Glen Drive, and I believe John has covered this very well. If there's any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there any questions from the board?
No, but it does fit my recollection that we have dealt with similar issues in this same development over the past number of years anyway, maybe not
right.
Very
I don't
recently.
Really recall, but I mean.
We have, yeah.
That we have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because of age and because of handicaps and mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, any other questions?
No, it's not a question, it's just an observation. That we're finding these from time to time and trying to clean them up as we go along. I believe there was one where the lots were actually the footprints of the homes or the footprints of the structures. So then if they wanted to do anything, they were going outside of their property. So as we find these, we're trying to clean them up with replattings.
Is there a motion from the board?
Well, to me, this seems like an extraordinary circumstance. If we were starting fresh with this, I don't think I'd be inclined to approve it, but I am going to make a motion for approval based on the way that we have handled these same cases in the same neighborhood in the past. So I'm going to make a motion that we approve case number 16-036 at 3431 Maple Glen Drive to reduce the required rear setback from 25 to 15 feet to allow construction of a 14 by 14 deck.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 16-036 at 3431 Maple Glen Drive has been approved. Case 16-037 at 2624 Rose Hill Avenue. It's an R2 district. It's a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot-high fence in the required front yard submitted by Ralph Armstrong. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located east of the Crow Ridge Plaza development. It's outlined in yellow in the graphic being displayed. It's located at the intersection of Brentwood Drive and Rose Hill Avenue. The applicant would like to place a 6-foot-high fence in the front setback that is adjacent to Brentwood Drive. The 6-foot fence encroachment is highlighted in yellow, and the fence outline itself is the more bold yellow line that's being showed in the display. The applicant cites the fact that they are adjacent to a commercial district and a commercial development, and they are residential development, and therefore they would like to have the six-foot-high fence adjacent to Brentwood as a buffering agent to block headlights that are coming out of the main drive off of Brentwood, as well as a sound barrier and just an aesthetic buffer between the residential and the commercial development. Apparently, I don't know how to push buttons today very well. If allowed, the fence will enclose approximately 7,808 square feet of yard space. If the fence were placed at the proper setback, it would enclose approximately 6,272 square feet. Therefore, if it's placed at the required setback, it would be able to enclose approximately 80% of the same rear yard space. There are four residences adjacent to and across the street from Crow Ridge Plaza. If this is approved, I believe that this would set a precedence for others to come in and request six-foot fences in their front yards as well for the same reasons. All of these homes have been built between 1990 and 1997. I believe this is the first request of this type we have had in this area. I believe that summarizes the request before you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Please state your name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Ralph Armstrong, and I live at the subject property. Mm-hmm. So the issue with the fence is we're concerned about, we have five children, so we want to make sure we have a buffer between the commercial presence and the residential. So you can see where the current commercial is. The biggest concern is if you see the large green area, I guess would be to the west, is that correct, of the site? That is future development. There will be future commercial properties there, which will be much closer to the home than the development is now. We anticipate more traffic, more people walking. So we want to be able to keep out that commercial headlights, the foot traffic that might be able to look over the wall with the children playing. So that's the reason that we would like the fence. There's been some question as to why we picked that particular area and not 25 feet in. I don't know if you can zoom in, but there is existing grown mature vegetation there that would have to be disturbed to put that fence where the setback is now, or the correct setback would be, and that's the reason that we're asking for the variance at that location. And I am available for any questions that you might have.
Any questions from?
No question. Mr. Armstrong, how long have you owned this property?
We just purchased the property. We moved here from Arizona in May 17th.
Okay. I guess my only comment would be is that when I visited the site, I was a little curious as to your reasoning for the fence, simply because of the fact that there is such a strong buffer there of existing trees and shrubbery that I couldn't imagine that a fence was going to save any sight line or save any noise compared to the existing trees and shrubs that are there now.
I'm not sure that that's correct. When talking with the fence contractors, now granted they're fence contractors, they said that it would make a difference, especially with the headlights and such, because you can see if you're ever in the yard at night, the headlights go right through that. Because they're mature trees, if you remember where you were, they're mm-hmm. established, and so there's not, I don't know, bushiness, if that's the right word. So the light travels through them quite readily. I'm not sure what time of day you were there, if you noticed the lights.
I was there during the daytime.
Oh, well, okay. I got you.
Not stalking them at night.
No.
Well, we've always, I mean, we've, the only time we've allowed that 6-foot fence is on the high traffic.
Right.
On major thoroughfares.
Major thoroughfares. And I think that, as staff said, if we set the precedent here, we're setting it all the way down.
All over town.
Down the street and on every non-high traffic street, so.
You do have a 6-foot fence to the neighbors, to the east.
Right, that's existing. Yeah. That's been there about 25 years.
In the rear, yes, yes.
And you could, and also put, to the both sides, actually, to the rear and to the side.
You could put a 4-foot fence along that side street.
Yes, we could understand that that's an option. The reason that we would like to go with the 6-foot is number one, the headlights, because vehicles are tall. And then with the children, we wanted to have a higher fence to make it just a little bit harder for someone to look in the backyard or, you know, mm-hmm. anything like that. So it's, you know, that's the reason that extra 2 feet we think would be a little bit better deterrent that way as well.
Okay. Anything else from?
No.
No? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, we've never allowed it on a private street.
No, and very honestly, I'm like Mary, I'm very worried about the precedent that it establishes, not only for that side of that street, but all streets all over town.
Yeah.
And again, as staff report indicated, to choose a property like that, it's not like the development grew up around your home. To choose a property like that, the circumstances come with it. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate you wanting to do something different about it, but I obviously you're sensing the lack of support for that in this group tonight. So.
We make a motion to.
Is there
approve.
A motion?
I'll make a motion to
deny.
Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Deny. Case 16-037 for the 6-foot high fence.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
There's been a motion to deny. Would you call the roll?
Falk?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bolliger?
Yes. Case 16-037 at 2624 Rose Hill Avenue in R2 District has been denied. Case 16-038 at 5768 Newcastle Lane. It's an R1 district. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable height of an accessory structure from 15 feet to 17.5 feet, submitted by John O'Brien. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
This site is located and accessed off of the east end of 53rd, turning onto Judge Road, which eventually curves into Newcastle Lane. It involves the highlighted flag lot on the west side of Newcastle Lane. In March of this year, the applicant applied for a building permit for a new detached garage. As part of that application process, the builder and applicant submitted plans for the garage, and staff reviewed the submitted plans. After that review, the plans were approved, and the building permit was issued for the garage, and the garage is under construction with the approved building permit. While it was under construction, staff was notified by a neighbor that the garage appeared to be too large. Staff made a inspection of the site and discovered that indeed the garage measured 17.5 feet tall. And I should probably clarify that for you. When we do the height of garages of this type, we measure it mid-gable. So the 17.5 foot is at mid-gable. The code states that it should have been the maximum of 15 foot. Once we discovered this issue, staff returned to the building inspection department and again re-reviewed the submitted plans, and it revealed that the plans accurately represented the height of the structure and the structure was being built as the plans that were submitted. It was simply missed during the plan review time by staff. The applicant builder relied on the fact that a permit had been issued and that the plans had been approved by staff, and they built the garage. And that's how we're at this issue today, Mr. Chairman. I have received a letter of support from the next door neighbor, who is located immediately to the north of Mr. Red Pandit. You should have a copy of that at each one of your places on the dais, and you should also have a copy of a letter that was submitted by the involved builder and applicant.
Thank you, John.
I believe that just summarizes what's going on, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
I apologize, I'm just getting over a cold, so hopefully you'll be able to understand me. My name is Allison Davidson, and I live at 5719 Remington Road North in Bettendorf, and we also have a flag lot, but we come at it from the other street, basically, but our lots are together. Just a little history. I'm not a native of Bettendorf. My husband works for Deere, and we love the area. So we custom built this home about 3 years ago, and we knew the lot in back of us was for sale, and we knew that and appreciated that. I'm a huge gardener, and I spend a lot of time in my garden, and I don't know if you can tell, and I'm assuming you visited the lot, but our lot is significantly lower than their lot. So from our lot, you look up to the other lot. And as I was out there gardening, the structure was going up, and I actually am an attorney by training. I stopped practicing law when, after my third child was born. I have five children, and I chose to stay home. But I have to say, preparing for this kind of got my fingers back into it, reading all the casework, and it's been kind of fun. But so I knew something just didn't look right. And so I called the city, and I said, something just doesn't, I read the code, and I said, you know, I know it has to be 15 feet, and I really think this is taller. So anyway, my husband went and spoke to the neighbor. I believe in being friendly neighbors, and honestly, I'm a little uncomfortable challenging this. But there's been a history where this owner, unfortunately, doesn't respect property. I brought pictures for your reference. He is a builder. Actually, he also works for John Deere. My husband does as well. And his job is, interestingly enough, he's in charge of building factories for John Deere. He's one of the, so he deals in the code all the time. Anyway, my husband went over and spoke with him, and he said, well, we already had to lower it 2.5 feet. So that was kind of interesting to me. So when Bill, who has been phenomenal, I have to say, Bill Connors has been just absolutely wonderful. He came over to my house, and we walked around. And he was standing there, I was standing there, and the general contractor was standing there, and he said, well, we've already had to put in new stairs because of this, we didn't meet code, and we also had to lower it by 2.5 feet. So I'm baffled as I'm standing there. Clearly there's been a review, and the person who actually approved this no longer works for the city. So I have no idea what happened. Obviously a mistake was made. And I feel bad for the homeowner. I can see how frustrating it would be if a building permit was issued. The person at fault here is obviously the city, right? I mean, the city is at fault. But because the city made a mistake, this homeowner, the other homeowner, will be wronged, and we lose property value. Our home was a very expensive home, and when we go to try to sell it, it'll be much more difficult because we have this enormous garage it's about 7 feet, I think 10 inches from our property line. Anyway, so because of that, it impacts our value. But with that, as he was standing there, as Bill O'Connor was standing there, he'd informed us, well, you obviously had to do it. As I mentioned, I'm a lawyer, and of course I went and read case law, Iowa case law. And it is well-established that the city has immunity, which you well know. So we have been hurt, and the homeowner's been hurt. And there's a thing called governmental immunity, so neither one of us can seek retribution from the city. There's actually been similar cases of this, and I have the references if you'd like them, where the bill, in fact, the cities have approved, just like this case, have issued building permits. And in one case, they had to tear down, interestingly enough, they approved a 6-foot-high fence in the front yard, the Board of Review denied it, or excuse me, approved it, and they made him tear it all down later on appeal. Another case, it was and this one's from Minnesota. There are not that many cases, and how the law works, which I'm sure you go around and look, but the code is the same, actually, that they wanted to build a duplex. They bought a house. It was residential zoning, and they could, but they didn't. The lot wasn't big enough. That the city approved it, they issued the building permit, they actually tore down the structure. Then they started pouring the foundation. Neighbors, like me, were upset and said, hey, you can't do that. The city said, no, we gave the building permit, they have to be able to do this. And guess what happened? It went up on appeal. They actually tore everything down, and they said, no. The fact that a building permit has been issued does not change the law. So what you have in this situation is two parties who've been wronged, and we have no retribution from the city because of governmental immunity. They've been wronged because they obviously knew it was too tall, right? I mean, they obviously knew it was too tall, considering that they already had to lower it and they already changed other things, which, and if we have to go to litigation, which we will, we'll find out through depositions exactly how much they knew and when. Which, of course, right now I can't say for sure, but the fact that they already had to lower it suggests that they knew, as well as they had to put the stairs in because of garage space compared to living space. So we went to the homeowner, and I said, I have an idea. Because we live so much lower, they live so much higher. Part of the problem with my land, the reason it lowers my land value is because of that and the huge structure that it is. And I said, let's create an optical illusion. Let's put in a fence. I would actually come in here and ask for a variance. I went and measured it. So from my yard, when you pull up so that you can see, because the problem is because of the slope, there's a huge exposed foundation. I don't know if you've been around town where you see a front of a house and it looks completely normal and, you know, nice size. You go to the back and it looks like a mansion because you can see all the levels. That's our situation. Because of the exposed foundation, so my thought was, well, let's create an optical illusion. Let's put in a fence blocking the exposed foundation. And then it will, for my yard, it'll immediately shrink the building. And his answer to my husband was, hell no. So I wanted, and I said, you can leave the structure. You know, let's just, I won't fight the structure, but let's just put in a fence so we can get some sort of, lower it, and then it'll just create an optical illusion, and then my home values won't be affected. So that's where we're at today. I am opposed to it. He broke its code. I can, you know, I feel bad for Bill. He does a fabulous job. A mistake was made. But unfortunately, that mistake hurt two people. And either way, both of us will pay. And so for that reason, I hope that you will deny it. Hopefully, the homeowner can come to some reason, and we can, I'm willing to put the fence on my yard. He will have to pay for at least half. I'll put the fence on my yard. I'll maintain the fence. But it has to be conditional, of course, that we can come in here and get the 8-foot. And I'm sure you've been there. I mean, there's no, it's just our yard. It's lots of trees. So that then it can hold the foundation. So I appreciate you listening to me. Hopefully I wasn't too long-winded. And if you want those references, I have them. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this request? Seeing none. Bill, would you like to say something, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, we don't relish the fact that mistakes are made when permits are issued. I have no excuse for that. I think we've identified a problem. That problem has been resolved. The height of the building, is limited to 15 foot to the midpoint of the gable simply because it's a detached accessory structure. The heights of buildings in that district, if they're a principal structure or attached to the principal structure, are 2.5 stories or 35 feet.
35.
So I don't know how the calculation, I mean, it was a pretty easy calculation in looking at the plans to figure out where 15 foot to the midpoint of the gable was, but it was not done correctly. I have talked to the owners of this property. If the variance is turned down, they can make this a compliant structure by building a breezeway and attaching it to the house. They have agreed to do that. I would think that that would be additional burden on homeowners, having had a permit issued in error. They've got the structure almost built, and now they have to go spend more money. That would not be my recommendation. I would certainly hope you could look at granting a variance based on staff's mistake on this issuance of the permit.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions from the members? I was there, and it corresponds to the height of both houses. in reasonable, house next door and their house. It fits the area. As far as controlling a fence, we have no control over who puts a fence in or whatever. So. That's a private developer, private thing between two homeowners. Did you have any questions?
I have no questions.
Yeah. I guess the question I would have for you, ma'am, as a complainant, what remedy are you looking for if this is denied? Are you suspecting that the entire structure will be razed?
Would you go to the podium, ma'am? So you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mayor.
Essentially, if it's approved here, he'll go forward. He has no harm. We bear the burden of the harm. Because when we go to sell and we're competing against people in Greyhawk, they're going to choose their other house, right? I mean, who wants? So I know you mentioned that you said it goes and it's comparable with the structures, but it's actually not. And it's because it's detached. Our garage is actually bigger than his garage, right? But the thing is there's a thing called, because of it's a detached garage, he couldn't attach it because of other ordinances, which Bill can substantiate. So he was doing it in a way, he wanted a shop, and he has a boat, and he wants to park his boat on his property. And I appreciate that. I'm a gardener. I would love to build a huge greenhouse in my back, but you can't. So the fact that he wants to park a boat, so he couldn't attach it to his house. And there's the reason the code is the way it is, because accessory, you can't legislate. If you think that it's in the same, I mean, the code is clear. This board does not have the ability to legislate. So if you think that an accessory structure should be above 15 feet, the legislature, they disagree with you. And not because they don't say it looks like, you know, what other people are doing. The fact that it's detached means that it has to be below 15 feet, because that changes the feel of the area, because he has so much garage, right? So when you come at it from his side, I don't know if you walked down to our property, but that is all we see, and that's exactly what the code was trying to protect. Because people don't like seeing four-car garages with huge structures in the back of their home, 7.5 feet from their property. The legislature recognizes that hurts property values, so we won't allow that. If he wanted to attach it, he should have attached it. Just as Bill said, he could have put it 2.5 stories at that point. But do you know why he couldn't? Because he would have broken the other code, and it wouldn't have been approved. So I can appreciate why Bill wants this to go away, right? He wants it because his team made a mistake. But so what the remedy is, my hope is, this is denied. The homeowner will recognize, okay, I have to negotiate. Help paying for half a fence is going to be way less money than having to attach and build roof structure, so that we share the cost of this mistake by the city. And then at that point, how does it change my value? As I was explaining, when you cover up all the exposed foundation, then the building does not look as tall. Does that, I don't know, does that make sense? Because it's an optical illusion. And so what I would hope is you would deny it, then he could come back and I would come back together. I would ask for a variance to build a fence. He could ask a variance to build it 17 and a half feet, and I would not object at all. Because at that point, my property values are maintained. I can build the, through him, we can split it, build the fence. He gets his garage. It's unreasonable to raise it. Although, what's interesting, we here may think it's unreasonable to raise it. The courts don't think so. The state of Iowa does not think it's unreasonable to raise it. And that's what they have done. In these specific situations where the building permit was approved by the city. So, I mean, the law is the law. I think it's unreasonable. You think it's unreasonable. The courts of Iowa don't. So I don't think we should raise it, personally. But I am willing to litigate this. There's right and wrong. The codes are the codes. And in order to become compliant, he needs a variance. And my property values can't be hurt. And I figure that's the solution. We can meet both needs. I'm willing to put the fence on my yard, maintain the fence. I mean, I can put a 6-foot fence in according to code, no issue. But I went and measured, of course. I put up an 8-foot, I need an 8-foot fence in order to block his foundation to create the optical illusion. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
I do have a question to John and Christine and Bill. If you do deny, what happens then? I'm kind of confused. I mean, if you deny, I mean, now he's got this structure that's up. I mean, what?
The homeowner has agreed that he will design a breezeway and attach it to the principal structure. Then it becomes part of the principal structure, and it is regulated as a principal house as opposed to a detached accessory structure.
But I guess that would be the homeowner's choice to do that. If
right.
we were to deny the variance tomorrow, it would be a non-conforming structure.
Right.
And everything that goes along with that.
Okay.
So
sorry.
Take action against a non-conforming structure, or it could.
So can I make one more point? I did, in fact, call the city as soon as the trusses went up. And the homeowner continued to build. So the fact that it's the roof's on, he had notice way before. So it wasn't that he had notice. As soon as the trusses went up, he had notice. And that was his choice to keep going and going and going. So he's incurred much more cost, which I can feel bad about. I can appreciate his situation. I mean, the court cases were so much worse than his, and the court still made him tear him down. And so I can appreciate his frustration. I would be furious, right, if I was him. And I am furious. A mistake was made, but because of the law, we have no remedy to sue the city. That's just the way it is. They have governmental immunity. If not, the person we'd be suing is the city, right, but we can't.
I think most of us looked at it from the front angle. We didn't look at it from your side.
Yeah.
You know, and does your lot taper, that lot taper down?
You're more than welcome to come look.
Bill, is the foundation out of the ground versus?
Could be 4.5 feet on the rear.
Rear side?
Rear of the building.
There's no basement or anything in it. It's a
There's
slab,
not.
Isn't it?
No.
The garage is a slab, concrete slab.
Yeah, due to the topography of the ground, they had to put in what's known as a deep foundation.
Huh.
So instead of being 4 feet in the ground all the way around in the back, they had extended so it's 4 feet below.
When you look at it from the front, it corresponds to both houses, either side of that private driveway or that access road.
Yeah. Right. When you come off of here,
right.
Did you go in this way?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both houses are.
Yeah, it's this house here. Okay, so yes, this does slope the back.
So from the front, I don't think it looks bad at all. If I was the front, so that other homeowner that submitted the letter, I can appreciate him. His property is actually even above, far above the home in question. So his home is here, the home in question is here, my home is here. And so for him, I absolutely would, I mean, I wouldn't have an issue either. In fact, it looks even smaller. So when you pull in, it looks like just a normal structure. But when you come from my property, that's the issue. It's not, it really almost, unfortunately, it's a topography issue as much as, you know, does that make sense? It's almost just a topography issue that magnifies it that much.
But 2.5 feet, does that make that big a difference, really, when you look at it as a...
Oh, so that absolutely.
It really
absolutely does. It does. Okay. Absolutely.
Do you have photos of the rear portion of that garage?
I thought I did, and I don't. What I did take is, he took, this is another issue, but he doesn't appreciate property lines, and so our property, we had built up, and he backfilled. I just show, he went onto our property about 12 feet, so we had grass there. They didn't want to have incur the cost to build a retaining wall, so they figured they'd just regrade our property as well without asking us. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't hurt our home value. Actually, I went up inside. I was very upset at my husband, or not at my husband, at him. I said, Bill, did you, my husband's name's Bill too, not him. Bill, did you see what they did to our property? And he said, no. And they just regraded the whole thing because they didn't want to incur the cost of, and so they ruined our grass anyway. And then all of a sudden, they've installed drain pipes onto our property. So my husband was out mowing in, you know, those big black drain pipes, and he couldn't mow because they were on our property. So we had to ask them to please remove that. And then today I went up and took a picture, and I'll show you. And now all of a sudden, their sprinkler box is installed on our property.
So I don't know if he just doesn't know where the lines are. This doesn't show.
Okay. No. Hmm? Sprinkler lines.
This stuff isn't an issue for us.
No.
No, but.
And Chairman Bolliger.
Yes.
I could make some statements.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Christine.
Sure. So I think it's important to keep in mind that the question tonight is whether or not the board is going to grant a variance for the applicant for the additional 2.5 feet in height to the garage. You know, whether or not the city made an error in issuing the building permit, that is an issue that the neighbor could have brought to this board when the building permit was issued and they first discovered the property going up. So that is not what the issue is tonight. The issue tonight is whether or not to grant the variance. Our code is very specific in terms of what factors the board should consider. Is it a hardship to the applicant? Is there some, you know, extreme circumstances which warrant the granting of the variance? Is the variance in keeping with the spirit of the code overall? Is it going to maintain property values in the area? I understand the neighbors feel very strongly that it will not, but those are the factors for the board to consider. So, you know, some of these other issues are not terribly relevant to that question. There is case law in Iowa where boards have granted variances and that has been overturned and property has been raised. The one that comes to mind off the top of my head is in Okoboji. There was a property that was constructed that obstructed a view to the lake in violation of local ordinance, and it did go up on appeal and the property was raised after the fact. But really it's a balancing act for the board. Considering the factors in the code, the hardship to the applicant, and is it consistent with our overall zoning ordinances, and does it, you know, will it maintain property values?
We don't know all the facts about that case in Fort Dodge either, so it's hard to make a decision on, you know, that not knowing.
And if
all
you would like, if you'd like me to prepare a brief for you, you can always defer your decision. If you feel like you want a little additional information, I'm happy to do that. So I leave that to your decision.
We could approve or deny or defer this, but it would have an impact on the homeowner there that wants to finish his garage. So that's one way or the other, you know, and discuss it between his neighbors, whether the neighbor, they want to put a fence up. That's in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is workable, right? I mean, I don't think we need to go to the extreme of, like I said, I am willing to litigate this. I don't want to. I'd rather spend the money on a fence, you know. But I mean, the law is pretty clear cut, honestly, especially for what the Supreme Court of Iowa, and if you'd like to prepare a brief, and what they determined to be hardship, this particular case will not meet the standards, frankly. But there again, you know, I prefer not to have to litigate it. I'm confident we'd win, but I prefer not to. I think a better way is to just agree between homeowners and just he get his variance, you know. I think the better way is today to deny it, let him say, hey, you know, let's work together. I'll put up an eight, we can split the cost of putting up an 8-foot fence, but we'd have to have it approved by you, of course. And then my issue's gone because then it doesn't look so tall. You know, it's the same when you ask us 2.5 feet that much. Well, currently it is because fences, you know, you just denied something that was 2 feet. So the feet do matter. They absolutely matter, and that's why the code is written the way it is.
What are the standards for hardship considered?
Normally, it is a pretty high threshold. In this case, the question is, you know, because the city approved it and he's now built it, is that an additional factor that can be used to consider a hardship? But ordinarily, on the front end, if we had not, if the building permit issue wasn't there, I would say clearly this is not a hardship. But because of that additional factor, I think that tips it a little bit the other way. But as I said, if there's any question tonight, you know, I'm happy to spend some more time on it, and we can come back and make a decision next month.
Thank you. Chairman, I'm unclear enough that I would propose that we defer this.
And look at the property from the north?
And look at the property from the additional property and give these homeowners a chance to talk to each other a little bit further and try to resolve this on a more amenable level.
I appreciate that. And I think, you know, if you defer it, hopefully he can appreciate, and sorry, my pictures were useless, but hopefully he can appreciate, you know, we have two harmed parties here, not just one. And when we have to go to sell our house, I mean, if you were buying, you know, a very expensive home, would you buy it with all woods in the back or a huge garage? You know? So, anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else want to comment on this? Is there a discussion among the board?
I would agree with Dave. I think there's a lot more.
There's more to talk about here.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that we'd like to remind everyone in the audience that with only three members here, this any decision we make tonight needs to be unanimous. So it would be a little bit easier and more workable, and we get more viewpoints if the entire board were present. So,
Matt, what's your address?
5719. Remington.
Come off of it's directly below the site as shown on the graphic now. Okay.
And unfortunately for me, all the trees have now leafed out, right? So this honestly would not be an issue if it was 15 years, because we planted big beautiful pines. So in 15 years, but unfortunately we might have to sell it for 15 years, 20 years, however long it takes.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to make a motion that we defer action on case number 16-038 until our next regular meeting.
Is there a second?
I will second second that.
Roll call. Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Spanger?
Yes.
Moniker?
Yes. Case 16-038 at 5768 Newcastle Lane has been deferred to the July meeting. That's the second Thursday of the month. Case 16-039 at 2255 Falcon Avenue. It's a C2 district. It's a request for a variance to allow parking in the required front yard submitted by Bill DeSuit. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. The site is located on the south side of Falcon Avenue. It is the empty lot situated in between the new Central Standard restaurant and the new location for Ross's restaurant. It's the site highlighted in yellow on the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to build a new retail building that will mirror the structure that currently contains Central Standard restaurant. It'll just basically be a mirror of this building over on the empty lot next to it. The applicant is asking for a 5-foot variance for parking that would be located on the north side of the parking lot that would protrude 5 feet into the required 20-foot front setback. As I'm sure you'll all recall, when Central Standard opened and Ross's opened and the opening of Quick Trip, the parking issue became strikingly bad up on Falcon Avenue very quickly. We had a number of complaints that it was almost impossible to get through. As a result of that, the city took action and actually passed a new ordinance restricting parking on the north side of Falcon Avenue. With this new structure being built, staff is encouraging them to place as much parking on site as is possible and also make arrangements, since both of these lots will be under joint ownership, to have cross parking agreements so that when one business is busy and the other one isn't, they can utilize all of the parking spaces on these adjoining lots. That's exactly what this plan is calling for. And with the variance, if it is granted, they will be able to utilize 10 more parking spaces in that empty lot, new lots, parking lot on the north side. If allowed, there will be 57 on-site spaces that will be provided on the site in question. In the combined spaces, there will be 116 spaces available. 10 spaces additional on the site may not sound like a lot, but if you put those 10 cars on Falcon Avenue, it became a problem very quickly, and staff is encouraging the applicants to utilize as much parking in this area as possible. I believe that summarizes the request. The new site will be the new home of a donut shop, a chiropractor clinic, and two other yet-to-be-determined retail places. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Good evening. My name is David Custer. I live at 2236 Lindenwood, directly behind the parcel they're talking about developing. I'm either speaking in favor of or against. My big thing is, whatever they do as far as developing, they need to finish the privacy fence in between, because we are now the only property on Lindenwood Drive that doesn't have fence behind it. So we have a constant stream of kids cutting through our yard to get over to Quick Trip or Quick Star and to McDonald's. Plus, Central Standard is already using that vacant parcel as parking, overflow parking. So when I go out on my deck, I have people almost in my backyard parking there. Plus, their employees come out to the edge of the privacy fence that's behind them and chat and joke and smoke vapor pipes, and it's like having them in my backyard. So I'm happy to have them develop it, but I would like them to finish that fence that separates us, that creates that buffer. I mean, I've got images I can show you of what it looks like.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
This will all be addressed during the site plan approval. That has been the way we have gone with these developments here. I would assume we would continue that, but that will be discussed during the site plan. And this is kind of the preamble. If they get the parking, then they will proceed and take this plan into Planning and Zoning Commission. There'll be a public hearing there where we will address those issues, as well as the City Council will also hold a public hearing on it. And that's the issues they're going to talk about.
All we're dealing with the extra parking space, technically.
Yeah, that's correct.
If you do look at this site development plan, there is a note on here that there is a privacy fence that goes between the properties. So
it's right on
that will be constructed.
Oh, I can't see that. I'm sorry.
They're already using it.
Yes, they are.
Even though there's nothing on, there's no building there, they are using that land as parking.
That's correct.
I have people parked right against my yard. And I guess I would like that.
But unfortunately,
see that remedied sooner rather than later.
But unfortunately, sir, that's not a question that's before us, okay, and not in our purview. That's for another body.
That's right.
We really aren't able to, while we may sympathize or not sympathize, it that would not, we would have no impact on that decision.
Okay.
That's between plan and zone and city staff.
So you're saying that will be taken care of?
It already went to PLC.
It appears to be on this site plan, so I would think that it is 100% going to happen, but it probably won't happen before next weekend.
When is the meeting for that, Bill?
This has already gone to Planning and Zoning Commission, okay, so their approval was subject to your approval. We were holding it back from City Council approval pending your decision on the variance, so now I can go to City Council for final approval.
Thank you. Anything else, sir?
So if I were wanting to make a request that since they're going to do this once they have your approval, could they do the fence before they start building, because they're going to have to do it anyway? Who would I make that request to?
I could make
right
it to
right
the builder over here.
Builder.
Right off to your right.
Okay. That would be awesome.
It's not in the way of the foundation.
Okay.
We need the foundation and the foundation has been installed.
Okay. And that would be so great. Good. Yeah, I'd like to stop the runway of people through and. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anything else for this item? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Sure, I'll make a motion to approve the variance to allow the parking in the required front yard of case 16-039.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Mollinger?
Yes. Case 16-039 at 2255 Falcon Avenue, a C2 district, has been approved. We are adjourned.